All right, Father, we thank you for all that you are doing again, Lord. And so we welcome your presence, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you've been with us, and we would ask that as we spend a few minutes studying some scripture and hearing about Jesus, that Holy Spirit, would you just help us to fall more in love with Jesus and to desire more of your presence and to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to you, God. And we thank you for all the opportunities that we have to serve. We thank you for just the growth that we have experienced, Lord. And we are very thankful for what you are doing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as you know, we are we've been in a series. If you're new here this morning, we've been in a series called Speaking of Jesus, and this is the last week of it. And we've been talking about different ways to talk and share about Jesus with people. And the first week we had Kate Grissom start us off talking about how we need to really, think hard and realize how important it is to talk about Jesus, but to realize that sometimes all the other things get in the way and are distracting. And so we had her talk about that. And then the last 2 weeks we've been talking about different ways to actually speak about Jesus and to do it in a more practical way with people. And just out of curiosity, how many of you have been feeling a sense of growing desire to share Jesus with your friends and your family? Anybody in here? Okay, here's a good question. How many of you have not been? All right. Thank you for your honesty. No, it's been really fascinating, though, to hear how God's been working through that. So what I want to do is I want to read a passage of Scripture, and then we're going to spend a few minutes talking about it. So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 11 through 21. So this is what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, "Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God." Thought I'd underline that for you because that's a pretty cool verse for some of you in here. "And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ." And so I want to take a few minutes here and kind of flesh out some of the implications of this passage for us in light of this idea and this series of speaking more about Jesus to people. Less about church or Christianity and more about Jesus, because oftentimes we get those other things in front of talking about Jesus. And I think it's important for us to maybe spend a few minutes here thinking about what exactly are we called to do? And we talk about this every Sunday, that our mission as a church, we say, is to know Jesus and to make him known, right? We're called to know Jesus and to make him known. That's why we exist. That's why our church gatherings, we do what we do. It's why we do the things we do in the community. It's what we base everything on here at the Vineyard. And so I think it's important for us to realize that we are called to point to Jesus, right? And so I think it's important for us to just take a minute and realize that in the Vineyard, we point people to Jesus and his kingdom. Like, we really want people to experience a relationship with Jesus. That's because it's transformative. It actually makes a difference in people's lives. And so at the Vineyard, that's what we're all about. You know, I've gone to school a lot for theology and whatnot, and this is one thing I can say in my experience. I have never, ever been able to debate anybody into the kingdom. Right? Like, you can sit down and have theology debates all day long, but that doesn't really win people's hearts. But I'll tell you what has actually been effective in helping people experience God's presence and come to know Jesus is talking about Jesus, right? Because Jesus has this way of winning people's hearts and minds because he's so good. Every time we read a passage of the gospel, how many of you are with me when you just say, wow, that is just amazing. Jesus is so good. Anybody feel that way? Like, he's so good. I mean, I love John chapter 7 and 8 when this woman is caught in adultery and Jesus is sitting there and he's hanging out and these people catch this woman in adultery. They bring her to Jesus and they say, hey, we caught her in adultery. And you know, the law says that we can stone her now. And then if you know the story, Jesus leans down and he's writing in the sand and he says, hey, whoever has no sin, cast the first stone. And then what happens? All the Pharisees drop their rocks and they leave. And I love that story, right? I mean, every time I read gospel stories like that, I think that's the one whom we want other people to come to know because he's so good. Amen? Like, he is so good. So we want everybody to know Jesus. That's why we keep, as a church, pointing people to Jesus. But there's a couple things that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5 that I think are helpful for us at the Vineyard to think about. And the first one is this. Christ's love controls us. Did you read that in the passage where Paul says Christ's love controls us? Some translations will say it compels us. It actually shapes us, okay? So that word for control in the Greek, this is really fun. Christ's love controls us. It's synecho. Want to say that with me? Synecho. Let's try it one more time. One, two, three. Synecho. You got to get the ho. You aren't co-ing with me, all right? Let's try it again. One, two, three. Synecho. You guys are terrible Greek scholars. But here's what's fascinating about that word. Is this is what Paul's getting at. Is he is saying that Greek word means that love seizes us, okay? It has a way of seizing our hearts. Love holds us together. Isn't that true about the church? Love holds us together. So the crazy people in your row next to you, you can still love them even though they're crazy because love holds us together, right? It holds us together. Love sustains us. That word, that love controls us, it sustains us. This is the meaning of this Greek word, and it also guards us, and finally it controls us. And so that's why at the Vineyard we talk a lot about God's love, don't we? Every Sunday we're going to be talking about God's love because I think it's important that we always come back to something that's really foundational for who we are and what we do. So Christ's love controls us, it sustains us, it guards us, it holds us. And here's what's really great, though, about God's love. Okay? Paul says that Christ's love controls us, and then he says in verse 16, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. And sometimes we gloss over that passage, but this is what Paul is getting at here for us. This is why this matters for us as we're talking about speaking of Jesus. He says we must view people through the lens of love. And if we view people through the lens of love, it totally is a game changer, right? I mean, the people that we have in our lives that are frustrating to be around or are difficult, if we view them through the language of love, the lens of love, what happens? We're able to see them the way that God sees them. And we start to have a desire to talk to them about Jesus, right? That's what happens. And so we have to view people through the lens of love. If we want to effectively speak of Jesus to our friends and our neighbors, you know, those who are in proximity to us, those who are around us, we have to learn the language of love. A few months ago, in January, we had Phil Strout, the national director of the Vineyard here, and he was telling me a funny story. At their church in Maine, what they do every service is they actually take a minute in their service and they pray for a different church in their community. And so they do that. So one Sunday, he said, they got up and they're like, all right, we're gonna pray for this church. And they started praying for that church. And he found out later on that church that Sunday was doing a sermon of why the Vineyard was the wrong place to go to. Yeah, I was like, how interesting. But this is what Phil said. He said one of their criticisms was that, oh, the Vineyard, they're that lovey-dovey church. And Phil said to me, he's like, being known for our love is an okay thing, right? And so I think that's really important for us. It's foundational. We should be known in the city of Red Bluff, the Vineyard should be known for our love, right? We should be the most loving, hope-filled, faithful people in all of Red Bluff, right? It's what we should do. So we should be known for love because that is exactly what Jesus called us to do. And so we have to have the language of love just in our hearts. But here's what's cool. So then Paul basically says, all right, listen, he says, we need to have a vision for sharing Jesus. We need to get people to know him. We need to stop looking at other human beings through the lens of what they look like and what they do and what they say. We need to look at them through the lens of love. And then he says, for all of you who are followers of Jesus, this is true. He says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ is a new creation, a new person. The old has gone away and the new has come. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, that's good news, isn't it? Because if you are a follower of Jesus, what I've found to be true, the more that you get to know Jesus, the more that you come to know yourself, right? And the more that you come to know yourself, the more that you need Jesus. And the more that you get to know Jesus, the more that you realize who you really were and who you are and how you still need him. And so that's the self-awareness, the self-identity that Paul's talking about here is that if you're a follower of Jesus, you are not who you used to be. And you are not yet who you will be, but God sees you as a new creation. You are a new person in Christ. And so this is what happens because of that. We all in this room who are followers of Jesus have been transformed by the gospel. We've come to know God's love and it's shaped us and it's changed us. And then because of that, we have to realize a couple things. The first one is this. When we think about what God is doing, we need to realize that God is making his appeal through his church, the community of the kingdom. And the way I like to think about that is that God has a heart for the city of Red Bluff. Amen? You agree with me on that? It seems like we should have a better amen. Amen. Like, God actually loves the city of Red Bluff. The same way that many of us in this room just love our city, God loves our city. And he wants the city of Red Bluff and all the surrounding communities to know Jesus deeply. And so the way that God has orchestrated this whole entire thing, this is mind-blowingly amazing to me. God could do it all himself if he wants to, but he chose to actually work through you and I. So God makes his appeal to the city of Red Bluff through us, his church. That's actually how he is going to win the hearts and minds of the people of Red Bluff. It's through you and I. We are actually an image. We're image bearers. We're created in God's image, and we reflect God's goodness to the city around us. And so not only is he doing that through the Vineyard, he's doing that through all of the churches in the city of Red Bluff. Amen? Like, it's not just us. It's all of the cities working together all the churches in the city working together and representing his kingdom. But this is what I think is really particularly important for us, for the Vineyard, is to realize this, is that the Vineyard, us, our church, is Jesus' ambassadors to the city of Red Bluff. And that word ambassador is an important word in the New Testament because it doesn't just mean that we represent Jesus and his kingdom, but it actually means that we operate in the same authority of Jesus and his kingdom. And so anytime that we interact with somebody that has a need, we're not only representing Jesus, but we carry the same authority that Jesus has. And that's why we can pray for the sick. That's why we can pray for people and see healings and things like that happen, is because we operate in the same authority as Jesus and his kingdom. That's our theology teaches us that. So in the city of Red Bluff, we're all ambassadors. We're all called to represent his message, and his authority. And then this is why we need to speak about Jesus, I think, in powerful ways, and to trust that God, through his Spirit, is working. You know, a few months ago, we were having a newcomer's lunch, and we were eating some pizza. And I one of the things I love doing at our newcomer's pizzas is just asking people, like, hey, what brought you to the Vineyard? Like, how'd you get here? And I found that there's almost always this common thread as to why people come to that lunch. I mean, most people honestly don't come for the free pizza, right? Please? Lord? No, they don't. And so as people are sitting in this room, it's really beautiful to hear what God's doing in people's lives. And a month and a half ago, this one lady was sharing, and she was just saying how when she came, she felt like she was finally home. She was like, I just felt like I was at home. I felt like people valued me, and I felt like they welcomed me, and they took me in as I am. And as she was sharing this, she just started to cry. And I just remember I was like really moved, because I was thinking, yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do at the Vineyards. We're trying to create a space where people can come and can feel welcomed, can feel valued, and can come and interact and engage with this one who is changing us, right? This person named Jesus who is transforming us. And so it's really beautiful. But then it got me to thinking about how everything we're doing here at the Vineyard, really, in our church, is about trying to help other people connect with Jesus, right? I mean, that's why we do what we do. So here's what's really cool. I was talking to a person who started visiting the Vineyard about 4 months ago. And you want to know the number one thing that they appreciated about the Vineyard? Let's see if you can guess. What's the number one thing that somebody appreciated when they came to the Vineyard? Coffee, that's close. If it was me, that might be it. What else? That wasn't it. Don't have to dress up? Nope, that's good too, by the way. Thank you for reminding me. Friendliness, welcoming. It was the bathrooms, and they were clean. Seriously, I was like, that's it? That's our church growth strategy. Clean the bathrooms, you know? But here's what's beautiful and remarkable about that, about how God worked through that. So what they were telling me is they said, yeah, I visited 3 other churches, and I walked into the bathrooms, and it was, I couldn't go back. They were like, I mean, that's what she said. She's like, if they can't take care of the bathrooms, then I don't want to go to that church. And I was like, all right, fair enough. But this is what happened. So she walked into the bathroom, saw the bathrooms were clean, and was like, wow, they take some pride in that. And then she dropped her kid off in the kids area. And she saw that there were some adults in there that were really interacting and loving on kids. And she was like, wow, they really value kids. And she saw that the floors were kind of clean. I'm adding the kinda into that story, but she saw that the floors were kind of clean. Then she came in this room, and she had coffee, and she loved the coffee, and she felt very welcomed by people. And then during worship, she had an encounter with God, where God just showed up, and she was ruined for the kingdom. And what I love about that is this, is that I think that all of these different ministries and these opportunities that we have as a church, all of them fit into this chain, right? Like, the bathroom's one chain, the kids' ministry's another chain, the coffee's another chain, the welcome's another chain, and all those chains are hopefully connecting people to Jesus. That's why we have all these opportunities as a church. And that's really what Paul's getting at here, is that we're ambassadors. Everything that we do should be about pointing people to Jesus. That is at the core of what he's talking about. So that's why we speak about Jesus, is because we want people to know him. I desperately want people to know him. So all this concludes with this. This is the end of Paul's message as he gets at this right here. He says, come back to God. Come back to God. One of my favorite philosophers has this saying. This is, I don't know, questionable sometimes to think about, but he says this. He says that every man who goes to a brothel is looking for God. You know, and when people hear, they're like, what? That's crazy talk. But here's the reality, is I believe that every human being has a God-sized hole in their heart. And so the only way they can fill that hole, they're always searching for things that they can fill that hole with, but the only way they can fill that hole is through Jesus. Right? So that's why Paul's saying, come back home. Come back home. If you've been distant, if you've been living your own life, you didn't realize how much God loves you, come back home. Love compels us to let you know that Jesus loves you. He died on a cross for you, and God wants you to experience the transformative power of the Holy Spirit as you enter into a relationship with him. And that's what we're doing here at the Vineyard, right? That's what we're called to do. And so you do it in your way. I do it in my way. We're all working together to see the city of Rebluff absolutely transformed. And I believe it's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen. Will you stand with me? The only way it's going to happen, though,
as if we're working together. Right?
So I am delighted to read 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul says that every single follower of Jesus is a new creation, and that you are all ambassadors of the kingdom. In the Bible, there are no clergy-laity distinctions. Everybody is filled with the Holy Spirit and is empowered to do the stuff of the kingdom. And that's what we believe here at the Vineyard. That's why we always say, come as you are, and everybody gets to play. Right? Everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to participate. So I want to pray for everybody real quick here. So if you want to close your eyes, bow your head, that's totally fine. But first of all, this. If you're here this morning and you have been feeling distant, you feel disconnected, if you're here and you've never had a relationship with God, all of this come home talk or having a thriving relationship with Jesus is kind of new to you, I want to tell you this. You can start that right now. You don't have to wait for years and years of going to church. In fact, sometimes going to church can get in the way of that. But you can have a relationship with Jesus today, right now. So the Bible teaches that it's just as simple as believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead after he died on the cross for us. It's as simple as having faith in Jesus and what he's done for us. So if you're here this morning and you haven't made that decision, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. And so again, with just everybody's eyes closed, heads bowed, you're not focused on anybody else, you're looking at yourself, you're trying to evaluate your own heart. If there's anybody here who's not made that decision, we want you to have an opportunity to do that. And so if you want to make a decision this morning to say that, Jesus, I want to follow you, I want you and your kingdom to become a priority in my life, I'm just going to ask you just to put your hand up right now. Just let us know if you want to do that. Is there anybody else? You might have been coming to church forever. You know all the Bible verses. You know all the different things you're supposed to do and say. But if you do not have a thriving relationship with Jesus, we want to encourage you to make that decision today. In the same way that Paul would say, come home, come back to God, we're saying the same thing. Is there anybody else? So here's something I wanted to say this to you real quick. You can look up now. If you made that decision, we don't want you to feel like, oh, we're all going to gang up on you or anything like that too, but we do want to celebrate. So if you made a decision, would you just put your hand up right now? We want to celebrate that with you. All right, go ahead. Hand up. Anybody else? That is a good thing. And so last week, Linda Sigler said, when people come into the church, we need to say welcome home, and you're part of the family. So thank you for doing that. All right, so you guys have a great week. What we're going to do is we're going to take about a 15-minute break, and then we're going to meet back in here, and we're going to start our family meeting. We would love to encourage everybody here to stay, though. Do not feel like you have to bounce out because you're new or if you're not willing to do something. We would love to give you free tacos. All right, all you need to have is a ticket. So if you need tickets, they'll be back there too. You guys have a great week, and we'll see you then.